come now to our prayer time, and of course we want to remember the family of Reverend Tom Calkins. And we also want to pray for Faye Vinson, who's having some health issues, for Mariana Cotton of Conway, who had successful surgery this week, also for Gary Brett. We want to continue to remember Debbie Hill as she's recovering from her surgery. And Genevieve Broadhead is scheduled to move from Rich Square to the VA home in Richmond this week. There may be a change in that, but please be praying for her and for Chris during that transition. I invite you now to join me in prayer. I'll offer our prayer, and then we'll close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. O Lord of creation and providence, our God who is himself love, you created this universe through your Son, the living Word. You are indeed the God of surprises, for despite our rebellion against you and the effect that our human sin and sinfulness has had on your world, and you love the world in such a way that you sent your Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins through his sacrificial life and death and his victorious resurrection. And you did all that so that all who put their faith in him will not perish but have eternal life. In him you're redeeming even the creation itself so that when he returns in glory to raise the dead and judge the world, you will bring all things together under one head, even our Lord Jesus in the new creation. So all praise to you for your mighty works of mercy and grace. And knowing, Lord, that you're our creator and sustainer and redeemer, and that in your unbounded love you care for us and for our needs, we come confidently now before your throne of grace, lifting our thanksgivings to you and our petitions and our intercessions to you. Father, we give you thanks for the life and the ministry of Reverend Tom Calkins. We know that he meant so much to so many, so much to our church, so much to our community, and we honor his memory today, Lord, and ask your blessings and help for his family. We pray, Father, for the work of your kingdom and for your church throughout the world, including here in Murfreesboro. We ask your blessings on our church, especially on this spiritual renewal focus. Lord, we pray that you'd work in our hearts and our minds and our lives to draw us closer to you and to empower us in greater ways for ministry to the community around us and to bear a winsome witness to those who don't know you. Father, we pray for those who are oppressed and those who are persecuted for their faith. We pray, Lord, for peace and justice in the world. We pray for those suffering from wars and those who are suffering from disasters that have overtaken, especially, Lord, those suffering from the weather disasters earlier this week. We pray, Father, for our country, for our state, for our town, for our civil leaders at all levels, asking you to work in them, to help them always to do what is right and what is best for our country. We pray, Lord, for those who are traveling. We pray for those who are recovering from surgery, for those who are suffering because of illness, for those who are grieving because of the loss of loved ones or other losses. Lord, we do pray that you would bring physical and spiritual healing where it is needed, and that you would work in every situation according to your gracious will. Father, we pray for our children and our youth. We pray for their parents, their teachers, and those who guide them in other ways, and for our college students, for all those, Lord, who study and serve at Chowan. We pray, Lord, for those who do not know you. We ask that you would open their hearts and their minds, that they would be ready to receive the gospel, and that you would help us to bear a faithful witness to them. And Lord, for those who know you but have strayed away or who've become indifferent, we pray your Spirit would work in their hearts and their lives to draw them back to you. And Father, we pray for this time of worship this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to clear our minds and our hearts, that we might truly be focused on you, that we might truly be looking at what you are doing and what you have done and will do, And Father, that you will help us to be receptive to what you would say to us and help us to respond in faith and obedience. And so now may all glory be to you, O God, in the name of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus, who calls us to love one another as he has loved us, and who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit as one God forever and ever. Hear us now, Lord, as we lift our prayers in the words of that prayer that Jesus taught us, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is number 601, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Remind us, O gracious God, that your word teaches us that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously, and that we each should give what we have decided in our hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, knowing that God loves a cheerful giver. So may these gifts we now present be a fragrant offering and an acceptable sacrifice to you. Through Christ our risen Lord we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, y'all get to hear somebody different today. And I get to hear somebody different today. And that's always a good thing, because the one we're going to hear today is one of my favorite ones to hear. We go back a long way. I first knew Dr. Mike Cogdell as a student, when he was one of my professors at Campbell University over 40 years ago, I'll put it like that. Mike has been a pastor, a teacher, and while he was a teacher, he was also an interim pastor and a transitional pastor serving over 25 churches in North Carolina in those roles. Wonderful preacher, dear friend, wonderful disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's my pleasure to welcome him to our pulpit today.
Thank you, Mark Gaskins, for those kind words, and good morning to all of you. It's a great joy to be here, to be with you on this day and this special weekend, for the privilege of being in your lovely town and in your church. I feel like I've known you through the years, though I've not physically been present here. I've known your pastors and many of your members here in this church. And now it's a wonderful privilege to be here in person. I happen to be in the presence of someone who asked me to give you his greetings today, Dr. Larry Hovis, our executive coordinator for Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. And he asked me to please give you his greetings this day. But thank you for the invitation and to be here with my friends Mark and Joanne Gaskins and with all of you for this special weekend. Now, do you like surprises? The good kind, right? Just the good kind. Surprises are good things in life. Sometimes, and just my saying that may have caused you to remember when a nice surprise happened for you. Might have been your family or friends, but it was a surprise, and it was very special. How many of you remember the times you've gone through your mail and you opened an envelope and there's a refund check in it? And you were not expecting that. Now, that's the best kind of surprise to have, isn't it? Well, for our time together today, I want you to think about divine surprises. Surprises God brings. Now, God is at work in every one of our lives in this sanctuary today. I hope you know that, and I hope you believe it. Now, you may not feel it, or you may not know exactly how, but God is at work, and He's at work in all of our lives. And one of the ways that He often works is by surprise. Divine surprises. So I want you to think about that today and hear our text this morning. It is quite a text from Genesis chapter 18, and there is a surprise in it. See if you hear it. See if you can figure it out. It is a passage about Abraham and Sarah. Abraham, now 100. He's gained 25 years since chapter 12. And Sarah, 90. And she's gained those same years. See if you can discover this divine surprise. Genesis 18, 1 through 15. And I read from the New Revised Standard Version. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. And he ran from the tent when he saw them to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet. Rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes. Abraham ran to the herd, took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, where's your wife, Sarah? And he said, there in the tent. Then one said, I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife, Sarah, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I've grown old and my husband is old, shall I have this pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I need indeed bear a child now that I'm old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And they said, oh yeah, oh yes, you did laugh. Well, congregation, what do you make of this story? What do you think about this story? These visitors coming to Abraham and Sarah. Abraham now 100 years old, Sarah 90. And these visitors coming with a divine surprise, with an announcement. Abraham first thinks they're visitors. And then they make the big announcement. The next time we come by here, the next time we show up here, Sarah will have a son. Now, it almost sounds like the Old Testament equivalent of the Christmas story, doesn't it? The Christmas story, Mary bearing Jesus, a son will be born unto you. So this sounds almost like the Old Testament equivalent of that, but it's not that at all. Let's have a look. 3 visitors. In this case, men. 3 visitors. Show up at Abraham and Sarah's door. Or should I say tent. And they show up there. And they are, as Abraham presumes to be, just visitors. They told him, no, we're not visitors. We are messengers of God. We have been sent here to make an announcement. We've been sent here to give you a message. Well, you notice the first part of that scripture. Abraham leapt into providing hospitality for these visitors. Now, this is not being nice. It's none of that. This is survival. In that day, in that arid desert, in that arid atmosphere, Jewish people were trained. And it was part of their culture that anytime visitors showed up like this, they provided hospitality. So Abraham thinks they are visitors, and he jumps into this hospitality thing and has Sarah do it. And so we read about all the trouble that Abraham went to in all of that. And they provided that hospitality. It was survival. It was not necessarily just being nice. And then as they were eating, they said, where is Sarah? Where is Sarah? Sarah had been listening to their conversation in the tent. And then finally, they made the big announcement. to Abraham and Sarah. They thought they were just visitors coming by, provided hospitality, do what they thought they needed to do for them. Said, we have a big announcement, a divine surprise. The next time that we come by here, Sarah will have a son. Abraham was speechless. He's 100 years old. Sarah now 90 years old, and she laughed. They will later tease her about that. She laughed. There's just no way that anything like that can happen. And now you need to know something of the backstory here. So the backstory is 25 years earlier, Genesis chapter 12. Some of you know the book of Genesis, that it's organized, Genesis 1 through 11 are the creation stories, and then Genesis 12 through 50 are the stories of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, the story of the patriarch. But that's really artificial, because the story of Abraham and Sarah actually begins back in chapter 11. They were a young couple who wanted to have children, and they were dealing with barrenness, the inability to have children. Barrenness, infertility, is hard on a young couple. It's hard on a couple, then and now. Then they did not have the medical knowledge about that we have now. They thought it might be a curse upon them. But now we know better than that sometimes there are legitimate medical reasons that doesn't occur. But here they were, a young couple, and God appeared to them in the midst of dealing with this difficulty. And he said to them, Abraham and Sarah, I want you to go where you have never been before. I want you to become a father, the father and mother of a new covenant community. And you know and remember Abraham and Sarah's response in all of that. Then God said to them, and I will make you a father. A what? A father? Abraham, I will make you a father of many nations. Your descendants will be like the sands upon the sea. You can only count them if you can count the stars in the sky. Abraham and Sarah, you are the ones I want to do this. And the amazing thing, to make that long story short, is that they obeyed. They obeyed to go to a place they never, ever been before, dealing as a young couple with a very serious issue to them, and they went and they obeyed. Now that's the backstory of all of that. Now back to our visit. The three men come and with Abraham and Sarah, and they say to them, God has not forgotten. God has not forgotten. What you prayed for when he first came to you. God has not forgotten you and the prayers that you've prayed. Although these 25 years have passed now, and you have obeyed Abraham, you have brought this new covenant community into being. And so we have come here to tell you, and to make this announcement to you and to Sarah. The next time that we stop by here, Sarah will have a son. Abraham's still speechless about all of that, and Sarah laughing. And then comes these words from the messengers of God. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? You remember the parallel to that when God came to Mary and told her that she would be the one to bear the new Savior of the world. And her words were very similar, which makes people sometimes think this is an Old Testament parallel to that. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? But here's the other side to that, the preface side, the first. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? So if you have to remember one of those, remember this one. This is the better one. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? And in the midst of that, they remind Sarah that she laughed. And she said, no, I didn't laugh. She denied it this time. And then I love this in the text. Don't miss it in this text. This little phrase, they say to her, yes, you did. Yes, you did. The announcement of a divine surprise. Now, you know the rest of this story. You also know that Abraham and Sarah were not perfect. They took matters into their own hands about this barrenness. You remember that Sarah gave to Abraham her handmaiden, Hagar, and they had a child, a son, Ishmael. And God blessed Ishmael, but he was not to be the covenant son. And so this son, Isaac, was born. And the son came to be. And do you know what his name means? What's the name Isaac mean?
Laughter.
Laughter. It's kind of like 2016 when the Chicago Cubs finally won the World Series after over 100 years. And some of you may remember that night. I remember it. Michael McKnight pitching for the Cubs struck out Michael Martinez of the Cleveland Indians, now the Cleveland Guardians. It was a little past midnight, and the Chicago Cubs had won the World Series for the first time in over 100 years. Some of you know that Major League Baseball gives rings to the Major League players, and one reason they felt that Cubs never won the World Series was called the Billy Goat Curse. When a Billy Goat named Murphy was brought by his owner to Wrigley Field, and they said, you can come in, but the goat can't. And so the guy put a curse, said the Cubs will never win a World Series. And they finally did. And some of you know the rings that Major League Baseball controls one side of the ring, and whoever wins a World Series can have whatever emblem they want on the other side. That's why they have to wait all summer to give the rings. They have to do it. But do you know what the Chicago Cubs in 2016 chose for their ring on the other side of the ring? Billy Goat. A Billy Goat. Kind of like that story here. Divine surprises. Now for our spiritual renewal weekend, what I'm wanting you to remember is to open your heart to God working in your life. God's already at work in every single person in this room. And sometimes the way he does it is by surprise. In fact, he does it often that way. Some of you remember when the children of Israel parted Egypt on that night of nights, and the Egyptians came after them the next day. And they came up against the Red Sea, and they thought they were done for because Pharaoh had changed his mind and chased them, and then they knew they couldn't cross, and what happened? God parted the sea. Surprise, surprise. Some of you may remember that Jonah felt like his whole ministry was doomed. And he didn't know what he was going to do, and that God had other things to do right then. So he brought a whale in to take care of Jonah and hold him in place till he could get back to him. Some of you may remember that the young maiden Mary, when she discovered her pregnancy, went to see cousin Elizabeth, and she wanted to announce to Elizabeth, I am pregnant. And when she got to Elizabeth, surprise, surprise, Elizabeth said, I am pregnant too. And some of you remember that after Jesus endured that his upbringing and would later endure the temptations. He came out. He came out to the ministry, and he came to where John the Baptizer was baptizing. Now, what you think's going to happen is Jesus standing up on the hill. Boy, the work's going great. John's baptizing. Look at that long line. John's baptizing people, and the work is going great. No. Jesus, surprise, surprise. I'm shocked by it every time I read it in the Bible. Jesus went and got in line. He went and got in line to be baptized. You'd think he'd be up there on the hill just overseeing the work. And then John has enough sensitivity about it when Jesus comes and says, I can't baptize you. I need to be baptized by you. And Jesus says, no, John. Baptize me now. Surprise. Surprise. The way God works, he brings divine surprises. And I want you to open your heart and minds and life to surprises that he may bring. That may be the way he works with you. And I bet some of you have some testimonies about that this morning. Do you remember Pilate's last order? Under pressure from others, seal that tomb. Double seal it. Triple seal it. Because they're afraid that they will steal the body and then claim that he has been resurrected. And then the women went that morning to the tomb, not so much believing in the resurrection. The big question on their minds was, who's going to roll away that stone? And then they got there, surprise, surprise. The stone had been rolled away. And Jesus was out walking around on earth. Surprise. The ultimate surprise ending ever. This is just the way God works. Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann, considered to be probably the most prominent Old Testament scholar we have, he weighs in on this chapter. And he says, this is the chapter. This is the story. I know we have Exodus theology, and there's a lot in Genesis, but this is the story. It's this one right here that shows us the character of God and shows us the love of God and shows us that God is active in our lives and in the work and the lives we seek to live. This is the story. Theologian Reinhold Niebuhr also chimes in on this story and says, we all need to remember that laughter is the prelude to praise. Isaac's name means laughter. And we see it in funerals, don't we? We often, when we have funerals, people will tell some stories about the deceased, and it's amusing. We like remembering these funny stories. But where does it all lead? It all leads to the proclamation and the promise of Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. He or she who believes in me will never die. And that leads to praise in doing it. What a story it is. Well, here's what I'm wanting to say to you today. I don't think God has a thing to do with sports scores. I don't think he involves himself with any of that stuff. And that comes from someone who's prayed some nervous prayers for his own team he pulls for. But I'll tell you where he does intercede. He intercedes in our lives. And he often does it with surprise. Ways we don't think. And I want you to know that he will intercede in my life, in your life. He will help you. He will intercede with you if you're battling an illness. He will intercede and help you, maybe in surprising ways, if you happen to be handling or dealing with a divorce. He will come and intercede and help if you're dealing with the loss of a job. He will come in surprising ways if you're dealing with relationships that are very difficult. He comes to people who fight addictions and intercedes with them in surprising ways. So here we are. A spiritual formation weekend, a spiritual renewal weekend. To remember that God is at work in our lives. And He just may do that work for you and me through surprises. Divine surprises. Now, there are two sides to this. And that is, not only does God surprise us, but we surprise Him. Some of you this morning on this spiritual formation, spiritual renewal Sunday, you've been under conviction lately about something. It may be that God has wanted you to step up in this church and to assume a new ministry or a new responsibility. It may be that some of you are feeling like Jesus felt. It's time to get in line and be baptized. Some of you may feel that God is calling you to a new place, a new service, a new ministry. And you've had that stirring around in your heart. What I want you to know is today may be the day to respond to that. Whatever it is that you have felt, God stirring in your life. It may be rededication of life, coming to faith in Him and serving Him. Can you imagine the scene in heaven this afternoon? If you respond to this today, you surprise God. I knew all about my work with my child in Murfreesboro. And I knew I was working, but I didn't know they were going to respond today. He surprises us, and we surprise Him. So I wonder this morning, if there's some of you who want to surprise Him with a decision of commitment and renewal. And maybe we all leave saying, is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Amen and amen. Our hymn of commitment this day is hymn number 627. We want to extend that invitation. It may be that you want to surprise God today with a rededication or a decision that you have made. As we sing, your pastor is here, and may we respond accordingly. May we stay.
Thank you.
today and hope that you'll be back again this evening, 5:45 for our dinner, and then at 7 for the service. And now let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for what we share in this morning. We pray that you will guide us in this time of spiritual renewal. We pray, Lord, that we will truly be aware of you at work in our lives and in our life together as your church. Bless us now and watch over us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do among us and in us. And may you work through us to accomplish your will and purpose through Christ our Lord. And so go now in the grace and guidance of the God of surprises, trusting Jesus and following him wherever he leads. And as you go, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Amen.